Certainly a blessing to see each one of you. We welcome you to the Lubbock Primitive Baptist Church, and very thankful for the prayer that was offered on our behalf. You know, today is Christmas Day, and I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and hope that the coming year is very prosperous for you. I want to thank the church for the gifts of love that they've given me and Sister Suzanne, and all the encouragement and everything you do for us, and it's been a great blessing in our life, and we can't tell you how much we love you or how much we thank you for those things. You know, life is a journey, and as you look at societies, you find that as time goes on, and we found this throughout the Word of God, that many of God's people depart from even looking at the truth, having any part of the truth, or having anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a way of life, and it's nothing new. But today, I want to reflect upon this day, Christmas Day. Now, I'm going to try to keep my words short this morning, or my time, and I'm sure that some of you amen that situation, but as short as possible. But, you know, what is Christmas about? You'd be surprised how many people live in this country, and they celebrate Christmas every year, and they have no idea what Christmas was really about. The December the 25th is not the day that Jesus Christ was born. We have certainty of that. But I tell you, any day that you choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, you've done a good thing. Because there's never been a birth in this world that is as important as the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether we celebrate it on December 25th or January 20th or February, it doesn't really matter. He was likely born in the spring. We know that shepherds were tending the field by night, and it's hard to believe that that took place in the dead of winter. He could have been born in the fall, but that's irrelevant in my opinion. What we want to do is look at why Jesus Christ was born into this world and why he had to be born for the sake of God's children. You know, for the wicked, for those who have no desire of God, this sermon makes never mind to them. It really doesn't. They have no thoughts of God. It tells us in Romans 3, a person that is not born of the Spirit of God has no fear of God before his eyes, and the thoughts of God and the things of God are not with him any of the time. And I can preach all day long. I can speak to a man all day long, and it won't make a difference in his life. But we're here to speak to God's people. People who've been touched by the Spirit of God and have a desire to hear the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we think about the prophets of old. Isaiah prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ have to come? Some people ask, well, why didn't God just take care of this without all this playing out the way it has? In the 4th century, they set aside this day, December the 25th, somewhere along there, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to look at. We're told in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. Why did God have to come down and be with us? Why did God have to take on human flesh and walk among his people? It's very important that you understand that. You'd be surprised how many of these people in this world have no clue to that and have no desire for it. And if they don't, I can tell you right now, you're not going to get that into their minds. You're not going to talk it into them. But we need to understand, why did he come? What was his purpose? Why was it so necessary? You see, we're going to understand that if any of us ever get to heaven and we have that hope, it's because of what Jesus Christ done. And it began with his birth. We move over to Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll read a few verses. Remember, this was prophesied long before the first advent, before the coming of Jesus Christ, long before he was born. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, we're going to go home today, many of us. We're going to gather with our families, and we're going to exchange gifts, and we're going to do all the things that are about Christmas. But if you understand the Bible, you're going to understand that you've never received a gift like the gift of the Son of God. There's never been a greater gift given to you in your life than the gift of Jesus Christ. Because without that gift, you would have no hope. You see, we're all eternal. We are. The wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. They will. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. And they will live there forever and ever. But the righteous, those whom Jesus was born to in this world and come to save, they shall live in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. It's the gift of eternal life. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And unto the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. The kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this place called paradise, where God's children will end up one day, is a kingdom that will never end and never change. Never change and never end. It's a blessing to think about. He goes on and says, and establishes it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts performed this. Now, we see the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was a need that he come and be born. You see, as we go along, you might say, why is that purpose? This is what the only thing I want to get out of this morning is, why was Jesus Christ born? Why did God manifest himself in human flesh, and for what purpose did it serve? You know, some would think, well, God could have waved his magic wand and just take care of this. None of this would have to happen. Hopefully, you'll have a better idea of why this happened. We're told in Matthew chapter 1, in the first verse, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then it goes through the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He was born out of the loins of David, if you would, out of the tribe of Judah. But we go down to verse 18, and it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. Here's how this took place. When as his mother Mary was espoused, engaged, and in those days engagement was serious business. Did you know that? It was like a contract itself. When you got engaged, it was sure and certain that you were going to be married. She was espoused to Joseph before they came together, before they had an intimate relationship, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So we see this child being born now that the prophet Isaiah prophesied of hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. And today you and I will look back at what took place hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But it is that birth that was the most important birth that you will ever know in this world. You know, we celebrate the birthdays of our children every year, the anniversary that they were born. We celebrate many adults, and it's a big deal. But there's never been a bigger deal and a greater birth than the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing could be more important for you and I. For had Jesus Christ not come to this earth and been born, you and I could plan on spending eternity in the lake of fire. And I tell you, some people don't get a grip on that. This is a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire shall never burn out, never be quenched. We've been saved and delivered from that. And it began with the birth of Jesus Christ. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, they were in contract or engaged to be married. And she showed up on the scene pregnant. Well, what was he to think? I mean, naturally, who has she been with? Has she betrayed me? I'm sure a number of thoughts went through Joseph's head. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of God, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. He's going to tell Joseph in a dream, the angel of the Lord, that what had taken place was not by another man. This was the immaculate conception of the Holy Ghost upon the Virgin Mary, and she was found with child. This wasn't the doing of another man. Another thing, the child Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is the only human being ever born whose father could not be traced back to Adam. Did you know that? the only human being ever born who could truly call his Father God. I want you to think about it. The Bible tells us that if we're members of God's family, every one of us, it doesn't matter who you are, you've been adopted in the family of God. Adoption was absolutely necessary because our federal head, naturally, is Adam. We're all sinners after Adam. But that wasn't Jesus' Father. It was God himself. Now we go on here and he says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to notice the language there. This tells us exactly what he came for. He came to save his people. Personal possessive pronoun, the word his. They belong to him. They belong to him. He agreed in the everlasting covenant with the Father and with the Holy Spirit to come down and to pay for the sins, to die in their room instead, and save us from our sins. That's the whole purpose in which he was born into the world. But why couldn't you and I save ourselves? We'll look at that in a minute. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, as we read back in Isaiah, the prophet spoke long ago, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Why did God have to put on human flesh and come down and walk among those he created? Isn't that an interesting thought? Why did God have to walk among his people? I want you to remember that Jesus Christ wasn't created in the birth. He existed. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized W. It is the expression of the second person in the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You know, we understand that the Bible teaches us that, even if we don't have a complete, clear understanding of how that works. There are three offices and yet one God. It says, then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, Mary, and knew not her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was named Jesus not because that's what Joseph and Mary picked out and decided was a good name. He picked Jesus because the angel of the Lord declared this is what he'll be named. You know, I wonder how many people really know what the meaning of Jesus is. It's a past tense naming. It means Jehovah save, not Jehovah will save. Jehovah save, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of the word or the name Jesus. Jehovah saved. Now, you might ask, why was it necessary for Jesus Christ to be born? I mean, why couldn't there have been another way? Why could you and I not? Well, there's several indications and teachings here. We're going to go to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to try to go through this and conclude this message. It says in the first verse, for the law, under the Old Testament, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not having the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Do you know that the Bible declares that no impurity, no unpure, unclean thing will ever enter into heaven? Do you know to go to heaven that you have to be perfect? Your sins either have to be paid for, or you had to never sin, and we're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. Solomon teaches us that. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's a reason he come. But those sacrifices could never make us perfect. And today, we don't offer up the blood of bulls and goats. But any sacrifice that you make for the kingdom of God will never land you in heaven. It may bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it will never bring you to a right position that God will say, come on in based upon what you've done. It won't happen. It won't. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged, meaning cleansed, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made for sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So these sacrifices that they offered could not make them perfect, could not bring them to a point that they were eligible, if you would, to enter into heaven. So if anybody's to live with God, what had to take place? You see, God is holy and he's righteous. We're told in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no unrighteous with our God. There will be no unclean thing in heaven with our Lord. So something has to take place if any of us unclean objects, and that's all of us, ever have a hope of going to heaven. So we see that Jesus Christ was born. He was born into this earth in human flesh. His father was God. So therefore, he's the only man that ever lived who was without sin, had no sin. Notice what it says in verse 22 of chapter 9, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You know, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And he fulfilled it to the jot and the tittle, every bit of it. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared his own sacrifice in the person of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect and sinless. We're told in chapter 9, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? You see, Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice that was found suitable to pay for the sins of God's people. And because Jesus Christ was eternal, he couldn't die. God can't die. It's impossible for God to die. You know, our soul and spirit will live on, and this body will die. But we as human beings in this body of flesh sinned and transgressed against God. Therefore, as a man sinned, a man had to pay the penalty. And that man was the man Christ Jesus. He came and put upon himself the flesh of a human being. Yet, he was without sin. He had compassion on us. He had mercy on us. He knows the feelings of our infirmities and the troubles that we deal with here in this life. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the thoughts on your heart before you even speak them. But the one thing he knew was that if he didn't come, we would yet be in our sins and we wouldn't have any hope. Amen. You know, we have hope, earnest expectation that one day we're going to live with God. But it began with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what day that you want to celebrate this. What matters is it needs celebrated as often as you think about it, because you and I is caught up in this world as we are. Our days will be done real soon. I hate to say that, but I mean, time is flying. I can't get over how fast that one Christmas comes and another passes. I mean, it's unbelievable. But we want to understand what this day was about in its origin. It was about celebrating the birth of our Savior, the only one that could save us from our sins. Not him and some other object or some other person, but Jesus Christ himself. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. You know, when Jesus come and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed three times right prior to his crucifixion, he said, if it be thine will. You know, he said, let this cup pass, if it's possible. He said, yet not my will, but thy will be done, O God. You know, he knew the agony and he knew the suffering that it was going to go through. You know, not only did he suffer it worse than any man by the hands of wicked men, what we don't understand and will never understand is God poured out the wrath upon the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that should have been poured out upon you and I. It should have been poured out upon you and I throughout all eternity. And yet Jesus Christ was born into this world. He lived for 33 and a half years. He died. He was crucified. He was buried, and he rose again for our justification. And because of his life that began with his birth, you and I daily have a hope, an earnest expectation. We're saved by that hope time and time again, knowing that regardless of the troubles or afflictions that we may encounter in this life, one day we're going to live in paradise with the Lord because of what he did. And it began with his birth. It says above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and the offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. He fulfilled the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first that he may establish the second. We're told in verse 12, but this man, being Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. That's very important. The old priest of the Old Testament never sat down. They went in year after year, continually, bringing the sins of the people into remembrance. But when Christ offered himself without spot unto God, once and for all, for all men, for all that he died for, then the work was finished. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. You remember in John chapter 6 when he said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He knew he was going to suffer an excruciating death of pain. But he loved you. And you were worth it. You remember last week when I quoted out of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 when he said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? Most of us as human beings cannot imagine that the blessing of eternal life could be outdone. But Jesus paid for the sins of everyone that was given to him by the Father. And that was the greater blessing. He didn't say that receiving was not a blessing. We're going to go home today. We're going to exchange gifts. And it's a great blessing to receive a gift, especially a gift that's given with love. Because God loved you and he gave his son for you, that it would take care of everything necessary that you one day will live with him in heaven. But not only, it wasn't just one here and there. The great blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ was that everyone for whom he died for will live with him in heaven one day based upon what he done. And it began by being born into this world. You see, from an eternal standpoint, Jesus couldn't die. He came and put on human flesh. It was that body that died. Just like mine and your body is going to die, and our soul and spirit is going to fly away to be with the Lord. It's eternal. Verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus Christ has made us perfect. You and I, it's impossible to become perfect or make ourselves perfect. But he was the only sacrifice that could be offered unto God without spot. God, being holy and righteous in all his ways, demands perfection, and there will be no unclean thing entering into heaven. But we do know that all for whom Jesus died for will one day live with him in heaven. That's why Jesus received the greater blessing. For it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's a blessing on both ends, and we'll see some of that today. You know, when I was young, and like most young kids and children, we always considered Christmas time as being a time to gather up a lot of presents. Our loved ones are going to give us gifts and presents, and we were all ready to receive. But you know, the older you get, I believe, at least in my case, the more joy you get out of watching those you love open the things that you give them. It is more blessed to give. The greater blessing is giving someone something because you love them. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son that one day you can live with him in heaven forever and ever. To never have a trouble that you've had in this life. You know, if we could just imagine heaven and understand it, we'd be so anxious to get there. But I'll assure you, the way time's going, it won't be long till we all have that opportunity. So I thank you for your attention this morning. When you go home today and you celebrate Christmas or gather with your families, remember why you give someone a gift you love, and remember what this day is about, that God gave his son for you. He was born into this world. He knows exactly the state you're in and the condition and the troubles that hinder your life. But he promised that you will live with him one day. And it began with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope that every Christmas that comes along, you have remembrance of that, because that's what Christmas is really about. It's got caught up in the materialistic things and in the ways of life. And many, even Christians, have forgotten what Christmas is really about. You'd be surprised how many don't know. It's just a time to get together and give gifts every year. But really, we ought to be celebrating the birth of Christ, whatever day it is. And there's no better day than today.